Good morning. Thank you, Ms. Londo, for being short. I appreciate that. Please forgive my voice for shaking. I don't typically speak in front of people ever for any reason. Pastor Maria, Sally, and Elijah can be held accountable for any unpleasantness that we shared this morning. I'm supposed to be talking about my experience in my hometown. But when I sat down to prepare to address you all this morning, I could not stop thinking about my mother. My mother passed away earlier this year. My mother was a pack rat, and she was a fan of paper, and she was a fan of quotes. She always had some type of quotable. So I'll be sharing one of those with you today. I used to tell people they would understand me better if they knew my mother. If you could get to know her, even just a little, you would get a glimpse into my childhood, and my quirks would make more sense. My mother always had a one-liner or a quote to make you consider and reconsider your actions in the real world. To be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. It's one of my mother's favorite quotes from Nelson Mandela. Live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. My mama was born and raised in Charlottesville, Virginia, a cute, cozy college town with deeply rooted racial divides. She attended the same Negro school that her father did. She lived in the black neighborhood. She was one of 11 children. She was her daddy's favorite because she looked the most like her mother. She was a good Catholic. She was left-handed and had a big personality. And she was stubborn, unyielding, demanding, determined. She was tough and kind also. But her stubbornness and unyielding stance concealed her loving spirit. And I didn't realize until I reached adulthood that my mother had poured her heart into a specialized form of public service. She served the disenfranchised of her adopted hometown of Washington, D.C. I grew up in a quiet neighborhood, Brightwood, which sits in the wedge below Shepherd Park and just west of Tacoma, a middle-class neighborhood in the shadow of Walter Reed. We were comfortable. Not indulgent, but comfortable. But I went to school with kids who lived in Hawthorne and Palisades. I rode home with classmates who had drivers, ate snacks prepared by nannies, went on Easter egg hunts in Rock Creek Park backyards, played tennis at the Bethesda Country Club. I went to plays and children's workshops at the Kennedy Center and the National Theater. I benefited from exposure beyond my household tax bracket. Contrastly, in a way, I grew up in the backseat of my mama's old Volvo. She took me everywhere she went. My mother worked in the welfare office when I was little and later in the child support office. She spent her workday listening to other people's problems. It might not sound like a whole lot of social work in the child support office, but in D.C. at least, every child who received any type of public benefits, the government tried to get their money back from the non-custodial parent. So people who lived in very deep poverty, people who had limited resources, people who were forgotten by the masses had to come through my mother's office so that the government could get their money back. Frequently, the stories were horrific. On weekends and evenings, my mother would attend meetings, community meetings, church meetings, political forums and fundraisers, and interspersed with the mundane meetings, there would be something more memorable sometimes. So I went to police precincts and recreation centers on the other side of town. She campaigned with Marion Barry and Jesse Jackson previously, who are polarizing figures in D.C. politics. But basically, your socioeconomic standing determined whether you loved or hated them. Amen. She went to homes along the campaign trail. She saw the people of Chocolate City and made sure I was paying attention. Keep in mind that this was in the 1990s, and D.C. was the murder capital, when the federal government was at war with crack addicts. They were shown no sympathy. We were at war. So I went with my mother to mansions off of Beach Drive and projects on Alabama Avenue. One of the most memorable stories of my travels with my mother across town was to one of her clients, Miss Heisen's house. Miss Heisen was a grandmother. She had five of her grandchildren in her custody. Her daughter was a drug addict and had been missing for a while. So Miss Heisen was this elderly lady with these five little kids. She sat in my mother's office and she told her about her own life. Miss Heisen and her five grandchildren lived in a moldy basement apartment where the mold climbed up the walls, and when it rained outside, it flooded in their apartment, and rodents and pests and all types of filth were in this basement apartment with this senior citizen and her five grandchildren. She was disenfranchised. Her grandchildren were disinherited. They were native Washingtonians, but their hometown was unwelcoming. They were relegated to neighborhoods and conditions that no one would choose for themselves. This was segregation, 1990 style. So my mother put to work her unyielding stubbornness and tapped resources, including the offices of shady and untrustworthy elected officials, to get Ms. Heisen and her grandchildren out of their moldy basement apartment and into a more suitable home. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. You can replace the word freedom with any other basic quality of life. It's not enough for you to be hopeful. You have to also live in a way that respects and enhances the hope of the people around you. So my mother led by example. She helped Ms. Heisen and her grandchildren, and she followed Ms. Heisen along for several years. I remember going with my mother to Ms. Heisen's apartment where the mold climbed up the walls and seeing her grandchildren, who were about my age, whose life was totally different from mine. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment, my mother and I. She had a huge room that fit her California-style furniture. I had my own room with my full-size bed and my bookshelf and my cute matching furniture. And these children had absolutely nothing, but they were just like me. The only difference between me and those children was that I was born to my mother and that these children were born to their mother. My hometown has been unyielding in its disenfranchisement of some of us. I have a passage I would like to share from Howard Thurman's The Centering Moment. It's number 84, We Come As We Are. It is with a sense of enormous relief and reassurance, our Father, that we come into thy presence with our lives as they are, confident that thou dost understand us and deal with each of us in accordance with his needs. It is such a relief, our Father, not to be under any necessity to pretend anything to thee, but to be open and free, not trying to hide from thy scrutiny, but to spread before thee the whole story, that which is good and that which is sordid, that which is worthy of the best in us, and that of which we are so terribly ashamed. We make no demands upon thy spirit. We ask nothing. We are in thy presence as we are. O love of God, love of God, do with us in this waiting moment what thou would do with us. We trust thee, our Father, as best we can. And beyond that, we yield to thy grace, O God, our Father. I selected this passage because I come here as I am. with my story that may not be interesting, with my mother's story that is interesting to me, but maybe not to anybody else. We come as we are, but we are often treated as other. When we are treated like other, it is our responsibility. When we see others treated like other, it is our responsibility to reach out to those people. It is our responsibility to speak if our voice will be heard, but to speak righteously, to act righteously, to resist righteously, to respond in a righteous tone, to boldly stand not on the sidelines, but arm in arm with those who need someone to stand with them. Now more than ever, denounce injustice you see. Be an influencer in your circle, however small. You can serve God through serving humanity, and you can serve your fellow man and woman by simply doing an act of kindness at some point in your everyday, mundane life. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. Thank you.